Water. Morning. Isn't it? Morning. There we go. Howdy, y'all. Morning. Okay. There we go. All right. Sounds good. All right. Y'all ready for Sunday school? Good morning, everybody. Yes, Matthew chapter, let's get some guesses, 7, no, 4, no, a little bit further,
20,
lower, 6, no, 15, $20, I just lost $20. Matthew chapter 15. All right. So this is, it's all about washed hands or washed hearts. And Jesus Christ is about the heart. Wants to make sure the heart is right. And people can do a lot of things with their heart wrong. And can appear to do a lot of things with their heart wrong, or while their heart is wrong.
Sorry,
that's me peeing my phone. That's it. All right, let's wrap it up. Let's pray. Everybody got that? Get your heart right. See you later. Back to chapter 15 next week. All right, Matthew chapter 15. Verse 1, and there's 20 verses here that all go together. It's one account here. The Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 1, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.' But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever hath entered in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So there it is. Either the Pharisees say, why aren't they washing their hands? And Jesus Christ says, washing your hands doesn't, it may be hygienic, but it doesn't make you righteous and it doesn't make you right with God. And it's a matter of the outward or the inward. Is the heart is the issue, and the heart's always been the issue. So let's pray, and we'll talk about washed hearts, not washed hands. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray that you'd help us address things in our hearts, because that's what you want to address, is matters of the heart. And like you said, out of it are the issues of life. And lots of folks here, lots of folks can be doing lots of things in their heart while we're opening the Bible. And I pray you'd minimize the distractions. I pray you'd get us focused on what you said and address the things in the heart. And thank you so much for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I thank you for each soul that's here. And I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you got that's the whole context, the whole account. And so the first three verses in this, it's obviously dealing with the heart. I mean, the whole thing's dealing with the heart. And God has been concerned with the heart of man, because that's where the man gets defiled, or woman, that's where people get defiled, is out of the heart. You'll see that all through the Old Testament. We'll look at some Old Testament verses, but the first few verses, I think it's kind of interesting. These scribes and Pharisees come from Jerusalem, and their issue with the disciples, of all the arguments you could make, this is the one they come up with. Why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? And maybe for some of y'all, you might find this teaching a little offensive, that Jesus Christ says that doesn't matter if you wash your hands before you eat. At least it doesn't matter in the way of righteousness. It doesn't make any difference. So they say, well, you know, why do your disciples transgress the elders' commandments? And then Jesus Christ, of course, says, who cares about the elders' commandments when your whole system is based on transgressing the commandments of God? If we disobey what the elders say, you know, that's neither really here or there. But your whole religion is based on disobeying what God said. You've built this whole system. And so the question first is, in any religious setting, in any set of beliefs, the question first is, who are you offending? Who are you offending? Culturally, you know, now you can offend races of people, or you can offend politics or politicians, or you can offend the culture, or you can offend... and not all transgressions against that are called cultural transgressions or politically correct stuff is what I'm talking about. Just because it's politically correct or just because it's a transgression against the culture doesn't necessarily mean it's a transgression against God. It doesn't really mean anything necessarily that way. But the issue is, who are you offending with your religion? Your belief system has a set of ideas of what is sin and what is not sin. And everyone's belief system has a set of ideas of what is sin and what constitutes sin and what constitutes righteousness. For some, at this point in time, some folks literally believe it, since we're doing this coronavirus thing, some folks literally believe that if you have a mask on, you're righteous, and if you don't, you're unrighteous, you're wicked. That's become a belief now. Now, what does that mean to God? That doesn't really mean anything to God, but that's what one of the cultural beliefs. It's becoming one of the cultural beliefs. What I'm saying, I'm just trying to point out, every belief system has its set of values of what is sin and who am I sinning against and what constitutes sin and what constitutes righteousness. So in the elders' tradition here, they said, you know, these disciples, they don't wash their hands before they eat. And Jesus Christ is just like, really? Like this is your concern? When you disobey the commandments of God and you're concerned about people washing their hands before they eat, and you've made a whole religion and a whole doctrine out of disobeying your parents and saying, or dishonoring your parents and saying it's okay to do this. So what I'm saying is part of your religion, part of anyone's set of beliefs is defined by what you call sin and what you call righteousness. And if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's just a tradition of man. If it doesn't line up with what God calls sin, it's just some tradition that somebody came up with a while back, or just an idea or a cultural transgression that doesn't really have anything to do with actual righteousness. So the worst case scenario, though, is when the cultural views and religion, just like here with the elders, it's not only that they disregard the commandments of God, but they've made the commandments of God of none effect. They've actually subverted what God actually said with the tradition that they hold. They hold this tradition, and it's not only not in accordance with God's word, it just subverts what God's word said. So God's word says, honor thy father and thy mother. And they came up with a tradition that says, no, you don't have to do that. In fact, if you don't do it and you don't honor your parents our way, you're actually doing righteousness. And so they've flipped the whole thing over. So here's a question that you can examine, we can examine ourselves with. How often does your religion, does your belief system lead you to stay culturally appropriate while disobeying God? I mean, because some of our beliefs would probably tend to make us want to be culturally righteous while actually making us wrong with God, because they make us disobey God. So there's probably some beliefs we all hold in that vein there. How about this? If your religion puts a higher value on physical hygiene than soul hygiene, you understand? If my religion is more concerned with physical hygiene than what my soul, how, if my soul is clean, that's not good. These are the people. Let's just back up and say this. This is the same group of people that come to Jesus Christ and want to argue about traditions and commandments and things like that. This is the same group of people that paraded Jesus Christ through a kangaroo court in the middle of the night, hired liars to testify against him, and then after they had Jesus Christ crucified, were concerned whether the body would be on the cross during Easter. Like that was going to defile them. After they have planned this murder, after they had hired liars, their big concern was, is the body going to be on the cross during the Christmas season or not? You know, it's total craziness. Yeah, it's politics. Politics. So the first question is who you're offending. The Pharisees, the scribes, they show up at Jesus Christ. They say your disciples are offending the elders and the traditions. And Jesus Christ is like, really? Your system offends God. So the second thing is, you probably heard, we'll just read it. Let's read it. Verse 4. It says, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." All right, that's a quote from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's also found in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9. And other places, Proverbs chapter 28, he says, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer." There's some others that apply to all this, but you get the idea. You know the verses. Verse 5, "But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free." So not only do they teach dishonoring mom and dad, but they teach that dishonoring mom and dad in the way that they've prescribed it is an act of righteousness. It's a good thing. And so here's an interesting little phrase here. You probably heard, just think of it in this context. You probably heard the verse in Isaiah where God says, "My word will not return unto me void." We probably use that to claim some sort of promises or something and say, you know, God's word went out, it's not going to return void. Well, here's a place where it does. So let's read it. Verse 6, "And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of what? None effect by your tradition." So you have completely negated and nullified the effects of the Word of God because of this tradition that you hold. Because of this belief system you hold, you have completely eradicated the effects and the abilities of the Word of God to help people. You've completely done away with that by your traditions. So just a note, just to think about it, when he said it over there, "My word will not return unto me void," that's not speaking of a general, it's gonna do its thing in everybody's life. It will return some fruit, it will return fruit, and in some places it will just be used for judgment. It'll just be, unfortunately, it'll just be used for judgment. So, second thing is, does your religion, these folks' religion made the Bible completely worthless. Their whole religion made the Bible worthless. And that's maybe something that we need to get a hold of, and not being mean-spirited or anything about it, but not every religion is just okay, and not every just because someone holds a particular set of beliefs, that doesn't make those beliefs valid just because people hold them. You know, we want to respect other people's beliefs and respect other people's religions and things like that. Well, you can do that so far as they line up with the Bible, but just because someone holds a set of beliefs, that doesn't make that set of beliefs valid or real or good. Here's people who hold a set of beliefs that are completely contradictory to the Bible. And not only that, they subvert the words of God. They actually undermine what God's trying to do with his words. So, again, you know, the same people that crucified Jesus were concerned about whether his body was going to be hanging on a cross on a holiday or not. This is, it's crazy. So here's what the religion is basically for. Look in Matthew chapter 23. This is what Jesus Christ addresses with their religion. Matthew chapter 23. And we'll deal with the honor of Father and what they mean by all that in just a second here. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Jesus Christ says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Wow. So your religion is like a, it's like a tomb. I mean, it's like a sarcophagus. It's just like a nicely ornate, well-manicured tombstone, but you don't want to open that thing up. It's just filth in there. So this is their religion. This is what Jesus Christ says a religion is like. It's just whited sepulchres, dead men's bones inside of it, and all of that. Now let's address just real quick what their belief was about this whole honoring father and mother. So the Bible definitely talks about, and one of God's prescriptions for needs in a family is the family. That if you can take care of your family, that's who you take care of. Your kids, supposed to take care of when they're old, when you're older, things like that. That's supposed to happen. That's prescription in the Bible. What the Pharisees had done is they had made that so that if the children were taken care of the parents, instead of taking care of the parents, they might throw something to the parents, give some money to the parents or something, and count it as a write-off against the sacrifices or something like that. Meaning it was a religious act of righteousness to take care of mom and dad when they couldn't be taken care of or they need to be taken care of. When God said, that's not an act of righteousness, that's just an act of what you're supposed to be doing. That's just the way life is supposed to work. And so they had turned it into not an honor of father and mother, they had turned it into a gift. Like this is an act of goodwill, and it is goodwill, but an act of righteousness whereby you didn't have to, you know, whatever the sacrifices were, you basically it was like a kind of a write-off sort of a thing. And it's not. It's just honoring father and mother is, that's the commandment. And when you honor your mom and dad, you don't get a write-off for it. That's just what you're supposed to be doing. And so they had turned that into a whole system where you could get your righteousness by doing things that you're already supposed to be doing anyway. So that's a short explanation of all of that. So they had turned this thing into, you know, if I give mom and dad, or I pay for mom and dad's this, it's a gift. It's something that I don't owe them, but now I've done some good deed, and now I'll get some credit for some good deed. And God's like, yeah, you don't get credit for a good deed. That's what you owe them anyway. That's part of honoring mom and dad. So anyhow, their religion had made the scriptures, the Bible, completely worthless, for sure, in this realm. And let me show you. The ultimate issue, obviously, is the heart. Look over in Isaiah chapter 29. This is what Jesus Christ quotes, Isaiah chapter 29. The heart is the issue. It's always the issue. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Here's what Jesus Christ was referencing. Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth. Yes, we love God. Yes, we're Christians. Or yes, we're Israelites. Or yes, we're God's people. Yes, we want to praise God. Yes, we want to bless God and all that kind of thing. And all the while in their hearts, just dishonoring God in every way possible. So he says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. I won't keep reading because that's the verse he quotes there. So that's Old Testament. That's Isaiah. That's what Jesus Christ cites. And here's what it leads to. Back over to Matthew chapter 15. Here's what it leads to. A religion that never addresses the heart is just a pointless exercise. Matthew 15, verse 9, here's the end of that verse that you just read. He says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You ought to let that sink in a little bit, because he just said, these people come to me and they have my name on their mouths. They talk about praising me. They talk about honoring me. They talk about being God's people. They talk about, you know, how God's blessed them and all this stuff. And he said in verse 9, in vain they worship me. Meaning the whole religious service is a waste of time. Every aspect of what they're doing, they come to me and they offer these offerings or whatever it is they've concocted their system there. They talk about God and how God's blessing them and how God's doing this and God's that, and we want to celebrate God, and we're going to celebrate these feasts, and we're going to celebrate this, and we're going to praise God. And the Lord the whole time is looking down, completely disregarding everything they've done. And he says, your problem is your heart. You have created this system, and this whole system, while you say the name God, or you say God, or you say even say Jesus, while you say that, your heart is full of evil thoughts and adultery and fornication, and you never address the issues of the heart. You want people to wash their hands, but you don't care if their hearts are clean. You want people to make sure they use the sanitizers on their hands, but you could care less whether their soul is right with God. You want to make sure people are scrubbing all the dirt off their hands before they eat, and you could care less whether they're honoring mom and dad, which is something God already said to do. So the issue, again, you either wash your hands or wash your hearts. And their issue is, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? And Jesus Christ is like, why don't you clean up your heart? Maybe taking a sponge to your heart might help sometime. So here's how he corrects the false religion. Verse 10, he calls the multitude, and he said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man. Now we're talking about righteousness here. You can defile your body by eating bugs or something and get a virus or get a bacteria or something. We're talking about righteousness. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So people, we sit in here in Sunday school, we hear the Bible, and hopefully hear the Bible, hear the words of God, and go right on with our conversation, with our filthy conversation, with our cussing, with our Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that, with all that. You know what the problem is? The heart's not affected. And you can do a lot of things that look good with the heart never being affected. You can do a lot of things that look religious and still have a filthy heart. So here's what Jesus Christ says. Look, you can, whatever you eat, that doesn't make you righteous. Whatever you put in your mouth doesn't make you righteous. It's what comes out of the mouth that makes a person defiled. Verse 12, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? I bet. You just kicked the cultural gods there. And so the disciples, you know, what you're saying is offending the Pharisees. You know what Jesus Christ says to that? Not mean-spirited or anything. It's just, who cares? You know, but you're offending the Pharisees. Okay? Well, they've offended God. He answered and said, verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's Jesus Christ's view. He's looking at the end of this thing. And he looks across the landscape of religion here, and he just sees a bunch of stuff that's going to burn up. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. Whoa, there you go. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So there is the darkness that the wicked walk in. They walk in darkness. They don't know where they're stumbling, and they fall down, and eventually it'll be destroyed. It'll be a thorough uprooting of everything that doesn't belong in God's kingdom. He's just going to uproot everything that doesn't belong in his kingdom. And Jesus Christ says, just leave them alone. They're wicked who walk in darkness, blind leaders of the blind. They'll all fall in a ditch, and you're not going to be able to get them out of the ditch. They're headed in that direction. That's what the way they want to go. So then Peter says, after all this, remember Jesus Christ gathers the multitude, and he explains exactly the opposite of what the Pharisees just said. Why don't your disciples clean their hands? And then after this whole exchange between the Pharisees, Jesus Christ gathers the multitudes. He says, look, whatever goes in your mouth doesn't defile you. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's conversation. It's the dirty words. It's the dirty jokes. It's the dirty thoughts. It's the fornication in the heart. It's the murder in the heart. It's the hatred. That stuff defiles a man. And then Peter says, verse 15, good old Peter. He's gonna speak for everybody. Then answered Peter, verse 15, and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And it's almost like Jesus is just, it's like, I don't know how many times I have to say this. So he gives this really crude explanation. He says, look, what you eat, it goes into the sewer. But what comes out of your mouth, that's what defiles a man. But eating with unwashed hands, it doesn't make any difference. So it says in verse 16, and Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? That's just the sewer. I mean, he's just getting real real plain with him. Apparently he's a little frustrated with Peter here. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, now that's what you need to put a guard on. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but thee with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So, all of these things, murders, evil thoughts, fornications, adulteries, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, the Pharisees, their religion, they're participating in all of these things in their heart while they're telling people to wash their hands. Do you think a murderer washes his hands? Probably more than somebody who's not a murderer. You think a thief washes his hands? Probably more than somebody who isn't a thief. Yeah. You know what you find? The outside is white because the inside is so filthy. The outside is spotless clean because the inside is so crooked. So they make the outside look really, really good because the inside is just evil, wicked. And so in the hearts of these Pharisees and Sadducees, and in the hearts of all of us, we sit in a Sunday school room, open a Bible, read a Bible. Some of our thoughts and minds are a million miles away from what God's talking about. We're thinking about a boyfriend, a girlfriend. We're thinking about drugs. We're thinking about theft. We're thinking about fornication. We're thinking about adultery. You're thinking about TV shows. You're thinking about witchcraft. You're thinking about whatever. But you're sitting in a Sunday school class with a Bible open. Hopefully getting something from the Bible. The point of the Bible is to affect the heart. And if you're distracted, the heart can't be affected. There's no magic in being here. There's no magic in sitting in a classroom. There's no magic in opening a Bible. If it doesn't affect the heart, it's been a vain exercise of religion. So Jesus Christ makes it plain. He says, this is the problem. Problem isn't what goes into your mouth. Problem isn't your diet. The problem isn't your what particular things you're eating or washing your hands or not washing your hands. The real problem is what comes out of the person. The heart. What comes out of the heart. So all through this, the heart produces evil thoughts, murders, adulteries. You know, murder, adultery, fornication, those things started somewhere. And they start within a person. You know, if you work somewhere, you work in an office setting or, I don't know, we'll just say an office setting. And you work around, you know, men and women. And ever so often, you're alone with somebody of the opposite sex. And then, you know, you start making some jokes and the jokes become a little bit more revealing and a little more crude. You get a little more comfortable saying certain things around the opposite sex. You know where that's headed? You know where that's headed. You know exactly where that's headed. And it started in the heart. It didn't just start outside in the ethos or in the atmosphere somewhere. That started in the heart. Somebody let their heart go and let their heart move a little bit away from God and move a little bit towards lust and move a little bit towards, you know, fornication and move a little bit towards adultery. So what was coming out of the mouth was just getting closer and closer to, you know, we'll make this joke and we'll say this and ha ha, that's pretty funny and that's pretty funny and ha 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 and all that. And before you know it, you're talking about how much trouble you're having at home and how much trouble she's having at home. And hey, we both have trouble at the house. Maybe we should go talk about it at the bar. You understand? That stuff starts in the heart. That stuff doesn't start in the atmosphere. It starts inside of a person. So here's what God had said all through the old. This wasn't a new teaching. It's not a New Testament teaching. It's not a novel thing. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is something God had been trying to address with people for as long as people had been people. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. I tell you what, we'll just go right to it. Verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Now watch what he says. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Cut the flesh away from the heart. So this isn't just God prescribes a religious law in the Old Testament. The point was, get your heart right. Get the heart right. Look at it again. In Jeremiah chapter 4. And verse 3. If whatever you call a religion doesn't change your heart and doesn't deal with the things that actually defile a person, your religion is what God said your religion is. It's vain. It has no effect. My religion is vain. It has no effect if it doesn't do these things with the heart. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. That's an easy way, or a graphic way of saying your heart is messed up and you need to get it right. Whatever you call religion, if it doesn't affect the things and deal with the things that have defiled you, your religion is a vain exercise. It's a worthless thing. Here it is again, Proverbs. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm showing you these in the Old Testament here so you understand. When Jesus Christ shows up, he's not like giving this brand new ideas necessarily. He's explaining things that would already been talked about for years and years, or should have been talked about. Mainly in this one, dealings with the heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So keep them in your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now here's a verse you probably know. Keep what? Thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You probably keep some things with diligence. Maybe your house, I don't know. Maybe your car. Maybe, I don't know, what possession, some valuable possession. You keep it with diligence. But how often do you keep your heart with diligence? All the things that we allow to affect our hearts, things that we allow to enter into our minds and our ears and our eyes and all those things. I mean, I imagine you could think of some things that you try to keep with diligence. Probably some possession, something. Oh, don't touch that. Don't touch that. We need to put this up when the kids are around or whatever. Don't get near that. Don't get that dirty. But how often do you treat your heart like that? I mean, we pour pollution into our heart and then expect some good results out of it. I mean, expect it, if I go to church for an hour, maybe when I want to, then, you know, my life will be somewhat different or something. I don't know. Maybe I'll be right with God or something. But if your heart isn't affected by whatever beliefs you have, and I shouldn't say just affected, if your heart isn't lined up with what God said by whatever beliefs you have, the religion that you have is a vain religion if it doesn't address matters of the heart. So here's what Paul says in Romans, one more time. Romans chapter 2. Yeah, Romans chapter 2. We'll look at that one. So you saw it in the Old Testament. Here it is with Paul in Romans chapter 2. Verse 25. So Paul's addressing Israelites, Jews. He would be addressing somebody like Jesus Christ is addressing here in Matthew chapter 15, Pharisees. Verse 25 says, "For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision?" So you got somebody who's circumcised, who's a Jew by birth, but he doesn't care anything for what God says. Then you have somebody who isn't a Jew by birth, and he seems to care what God says. And Paul says, well, the guy that cares about what God says, that's the guy that's right with God. Verse 27, "And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." You got Pharisees whose whole religion is an outward experience. Wash your hands. We're going to put on these clothes. We're your priests. Recognize us because we got the clothing. Come to the sanctuary, and we'll administer all the religious rites and all that kind of stuff. All the while, their hearts are just filthy. Then you have people going to those services who don't have all the religious garb. They haven't been trained in the Pharisees' ways and all that stuff. And they show up in the tabernacle or in the sanctuary, and they're just looking for righteousness. Remember the Pharisee who prays, you know, "I thank God that I'm not like all these people, adulterers, fornicators. I thank God I'm not like all these people." And then the other guy that shows up and says, "God, have mercy on me." And Jesus Christ says, well, the guy that asked for mercy, he got it, and he went away justified. The Pharisee wasn't looking for mercy, so he never got any. So Paul says, over here, he's a Jew which is one inwardly. It's not the outward thing. It's the matter of the heart. Just like Deuteronomy said, just like Jeremiah said, just like Isaiah said, just like Solomon said in Proverbs, it's a matter of the heart. And if your religion doesn't address the heart, your religion is a vain exercise. It's just I don't even know what it is. It's just an outward show. So other people can maybe see you at church or something. It doesn't ever address matters of the heart. It's just, I go there so people don't ask me questions of why I'm not there. I don't know. I don't know what the motivation would be. But if it's not addressing the heart, or you're not allowing the words of God to address the heart, whatever we're calling religion is just a vain exercise. It's just a show. It's just an outward expression, or, you know, it really hasn't done anything. So all through the Bible, you see it in all the verses, but the point is, when these Pharisees, when these Sadducees, when these priests show up, I mean, I really wonder, you guys came from Jerusalem, and this is the best shot you have. Why don't the disciples wash their hands? That's really, you guys traveled all this way, and this is what you came up with, but that's what they came up with. Why don't your disciples wash their hands? Why do they transgress the elders' traditions? And then Jesus Christ is almost like, why would you even ask that? You guys haven't cared what God has said for years. What does it matter what the elders say? If you're blaspheming God and you're in line with the elders, who cares what the elders say? You blaspheme God. So the point is, in those 20 verses, again, it's a matter of the heart. From Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all that stuff. Jesus Christ preached in the Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, but I say unto you, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery in your heart. The point was always the heart. It was always the heart. It says, look, you've heard it said you shouldn't kill. But I tell you, if you're angry at somebody without a cause, you've already decided you want to kill them in your heart. The problem is the heart's wrong. You may smile at them. You probably smile at them more if you're really mad at them. You want to make sure the show is right. You want to make sure the appearance is okay. You want to make sure nobody questions the appearance of the thing. You know what that is? That's just a whited sepulcher, whited wall, full of dead men's bones. It's just filth inside. And you probably spruced up the outside because the inside was so dirty. So you made the outside look really good so nobody asked any questions about the inside. So here's the point of the whole thing. You get the idea. This is what Jesus Christ is addressing, just matters of the heart. You don't wash your hands? Well, that doesn't defile somebody. Here's what defiles somebody. What comes out of their mouth. The filth that pours out of their mouth. Conversation, the adulteries, the fornications, the murders, the evil thoughts, the lying. That's what defiles somebody. So I think you get the idea. You get the idea. So Jesus Christ just really takes him to the woodshed, so to speak, and then even his own disciples have a hard time figuring out what he's saying with Peter. What do you mean, Lord? Do I have to explain it again? What goes in the mouth goes into the sewer. It doesn't matter what goes in the mouth. But I'll tell you what does matter, what comes out of the heart. That matters. That'll hurt you. That'll hurt you. Let's pray. Father, I pray it's been helpful. You deal with the heart matters, and that's the things that are close to home. That's where we're at. I pray we'd really examine our own religion, and if it's not addressing matters of the heart, just accept it for the vanity that it is. I pray that we would allow your words to affect our hearts. That's what you gave them to us for. So that not just for information, but like Brother Hoffmeister said, it's the purpose of it is for transformation, to clean it up, to guide and to direct out of darkness into light. Lord, thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here, and I thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.